Hello and welcome to another episode of Profit. I'm your host, Cindy Broad. Today I'm joined by Scott Burton, and Scott is the CEO of a new company called Ascot Entertainment. Thanks so much for joining me in the office today, Scott. It's really nice to see you in downtown Vancouver.
Thank you for having me.
You've been doing a little bit of traveling, I hear, so it must be nice to be back.
Back for a few days, yeah. I'm back heading off to London in Saturday, so I'll be gone again.
Oh, wow, yeah. Fantastic. Okay, well, yeah, you've been a bit of a jet setter these days. We'll talk about that later on in the interview. So, Scott, on Profit, we like to start off by getting to know our CEOs a little bit better and asking just a few rapid-fire questions, if you're game for that.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Let's see what we learn about you. What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
When I was 12, someone told me to just do something with computers.
Oh, okay. And it's worked now out okay for you.
Took me a while to get there. I did landscaping, waitering, sawmill, but now I'm here.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, we ended up in the right spot and took that advice. That's great. What is your sports team of choice?
Manchester United.
Ah, nice. Okay, good. Are you listening to any podcasts these days that you can share?
Yeah. I am listening to How I Built That off of NPR.
Oh, okay. What's that about?
It's actually a startup story. So people from companies like the one I listened to last night, Slack, a local guy, Stuart Butterfield.
Yes, yeah.
So it's them telling the story of how they got their company started and all the things they did wrong along the way.
Oh, neat. Oh, sorry, what was it called?
How I Built That.
How I Built That. Okay. I will add that to my list. It sounds interesting. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Okay. If your house was on fire, touch wood, of course, what two things would you run back in to grab?
Besides my wife and daughter?
Yes.
Okay.
We're assuming they're coming with you, yes.
I would grab, I have a, this may be obscure, but I have a game-worn George Best jersey from when he played for Northern Ireland, so I would grab that.
Oh.
And I would probably grab my my photo album from my early soccer days.
Oh, neat. Oh, so you're a soccer player.
I was. Yes.
Interesting. And where are you from originally?
So I am born in Fort Langley, so just outside of Vancouver. First person either side of my family born in Canada, though, so most of my family's either still in the UK or has eventually made it over.
Oh, interesting. Okay, what is your favorite e-game currently?
The Untitled Goose Game.
The Untitled, I'm not familiar with
it's
that
It's not a competitive game, it's it is not. I mean, the one I watched the most, because it was the one I early started watching, is still Counter-Strike.
Okay, good one. And what is your favorite esports team currently?
Oh, it's a tough one. I'm going to have to say the Vancouver Titans because I'm here.
Right. Fair enough. Okay. So I'm sort of leading a little bit with the theme of what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start to talk about your company, Ascot Entertainment, and how they fit into the esports and e-gaming landscape.
Yep.
And we'll go from there. Thanks so much for playing our rapid fire questions.
No problem.
So in keeping with our theme that we were alluding to of esports and e-gaming, let's talk a little bit about Ascot Entertainment and give us a little bit of background on the company.
Yeah, sure. So we started the original company in 2013. So we've been around a little while. The first company we actually started was a sports betting company, so a traditional sports betting company. We built a peer-to-peer betting exchange, so that was really, it was a bit like a stock exchange for betting.
Okay.
So anybody could place bets into the market and we would match those up, but it really had a social aspect to it. So we launched that. We were, at the time, an Isle of Man-based company, so we had an Isle of Man gaming license corporate structure set up there. Introduced that game in 2014. From there, later that year is when I first really got introduced to esports.
Okay.
So esports is the world of professional video game playing. It's been blowing up in the last few years. In 2014, it wasn't quite in the mainstream as it is today.
Right.
But the numbers were still mind-blowing at that time. So I saw a report, an early report Twitch put out. So Twitch is a streaming platform where people go to watch other people play video games. And, it was in the tens of millions of unique users a month. But what really got me was the consumption hours per month. So this was other people watching other people play video games.
Right.
And it was 20 to 30 hours a month. So to me, there was a bit of a correlation between the way people would consume traditional sports. we knew the fan engagement and the activity around betting and daily fantasy for traditional sports.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to test out the idea with esports and if esports fans would do something similar, because if we looked at the demographic shift coming at us, where, you know, the 18 to 32 year olds now are watching less traditional sports and playing more and watching more games.
Right.
And they, you know, it's estimated 650 million esports fans today, and it's not getting smaller. So we thought maybe we could be an early mover in that space. And to test that, we actually put out the first daily fantasy esports site. So it's just like you'd play traditional daily fantasy. So NFL or hockey, you pick a team of professional players. So we did that originally for a game called Counter-Strike.
Okay.
We quickly put up a site. We named it esportspools.com. And then we started to see if we could get people to use it. And without a lot of effort in the early days, so not a lot of spend, we ended up registering over 200,000 users on that site.
Wow.
So yeah, and it was in 160 countries. So there was enough there to show us that they were interested in that. There was a lot of pull from the users at the time. So we were getting asked, when are we doing League of Legends? When are we doing Dota? So we made the decision after a lot of conversations to start moving towards building out a platform for esports as opposed to traditional sports. Team of gamers, so most of the guys on the team are pretty serious gamers. So there's a lot of interest internally, and we knew the space. So we went back to, you know, our original investors and said we wanted to do a bit of a shift of the business and be an early mover in a space that was growing and had huge potential.
Yes.
As opposed to battling our way in a space that was full of big incumbents in the sports betting world.
Right.
And we have some very smart investors from both the sports betting world, the gambling world, and now the esports world who accepted that and believed in it with us and allowed us to set out on that path. So we did start to build out a full technology platform for esports. So I think it's important to let people know what we do is more on the technology side.
Right.
So we're a platform provider.
Okay.
And that's where we always wanted to sit. A lot of people will say picks and shovels now is the big term. That's kind of what we are. So we allow other operators to run betting on esports off of our platform.
Okay.
So.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah, definitely much more of a tech play. What is the competition like in this space?
In terms of the tech side platform, it's not much today.
Okay.
And so again, we were lucky that we started this early in the early days of this space. So what you're seeing now is there are a lot of people that are adding or becoming esports betting operators.
Okay.
So most people are being the brand. And that's where they want to sit, and they're direct-to-consumer sites. We want to sit behind them and power those sites for them. And we knew coming from the traditional sports betting world that a lot of operators aren't the tech platform and they don't have their own tech. They license it and they focus on customer acquisition, which is fine, but that's just not the place we want it to be, because you can go through marketing money very quickly on the customer acquisition side. Mm-hmm. So we knew that they license their product, they license their sports betting odds today, they license their casino products today. And so we wanted to position ourselves to be ready to take advantage when they finally realized that esports wasn't going away.
Right.
Because I think a couple of years ago, a lot of the existing operators either didn't believe it was a real thing or thought it would just disappear. We've now hit a point where it's not going away, and it's probably the fastest growing betting segment right now.
Right.
So of a traditional sports book, they're seeing declines in their NHL, their NFL, their NBA, all of those.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for ways to grow now, and they need to attract this 18 to 32 year old demographic.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. And I mean, esports is definitely not going away. The market amounted to $492 million US in 2016 and has grown to over $1.48 billion US in 2020. So, I mean, if you've got to grab what you can get out of that sort of increase, I mean, very quickly. So
yeah, exactly. And then they predict the betting on that can be bigger. So if you look at the size of the NFL fantasy space, it's bigger than the NFL revenue.
Right.
So that's kind of what we're trying to capture. So we're the nice part for us is we're not taking a bet on which game is going to be really popular next year or which team. We don't really care. It doesn't matter to us. We're game agnostic. So we saw a huge uptake in Fortnite, not necessarily on betting, but in terms of like the fans and the users of that game.
Yes.
And we don't know what'll be next, but it doesn't really matter to us because we can bet, we can place bets on anything.
Right. So you're not driven by the market that way.
Yep.
You can, excellent. Okay. So just sort of giving our investors sort of an idea of how this actually works. How does the platform actually work?
Yeah. So we can do it in a couple of ways. So we have two real targets today in terms of who will use our platform.
Okay.
So the first one would be all the existing sports books that are out there right now. And there are, you know, thousands of online sports books around the world. You know, it's a nice part about esports. It's truly a global thing, not like in North American sports. So so we have targets around the world. So we can go to them and they might want to add an esports component to their site. So we can fit right into their existing infrastructure if they want. So they currently have their own gaming license. They'll have their own payment systems. They'll have their own customer KYC, which is the age, identity, and location verification systems. We can seamlessly plug into that, use their branding, their color, and everything, and they can now have a full suite of esports betting products. So we can do pre-match betting. What's really unique to us is our ability to embed a stream. So that's where the live stream of the event is on your site.
Okay.
And then we do real-time betting. So we have bets rolling in every 20 to 30 seconds the entire time you're watching.
Wow.
We still have the daily fantasy, and now we're adding some what we call casino style games. So they can turn on any of those features they want or turn them off. So that's the first group, so the existing operators. And they may want it within their site, but I think some are starting to realize that they may not have brand recognition with the younger generation. So, you know, I just use a large older example from the UK, like a brand like William Hill, probably doesn't mean anything to a 19-year-old gamer.
Right.
So there's no loyalty there. So they're starting to realize that maybe we need a separate brand to appeal to this and a whole different product, and that's what we give them. The other group we can work with is not an existing betting operator, but somebody who's maybe been in the gaming space for a while, so really has eyeballs, so has a lot of users, wants to monetize them better. So anybody who's been on an ad-driven model for a while is suffering a bit with the decline of banner ads and people ad-blocking and all those things. So so they're finding other ways to try and monetize, and betting on esports is one of those ways. So they can come to us, and we can actually give them a full gaming license as well. So we can sub-license a gaming license to them, do a branded site for them, and then we power everything for them. So we have infrastructure set up in multiple countries in terms of gaming license, but also our own hardware. So we have servers on the ground in a number of countries, which is a requirement for many of the licenses. So they don't have to go through that process of getting servers on the ground, putting directors in the countries where they're having licenses. We handle the banking, payments, all the age, identity, location verification. And then we have a full suite of risk controls as well, so to manage the user risk once they're in the site. So we can take people who don't want to do all that, but want to make money off their users, we can give them a gaming sub-license.
Interesting. So what does your client base look like currently? Like how many people are you servicing?
Yeah, so we introduced our platform late last year.
Okay.
So we've been working on tech for a long time. We've run some of our own brands to test. They've sat on the platform. So we got it ready to go last year. So we introduced it as the Chameleon Gaming Platform.
Okay.
So that's the brand that we'll be going up publicly with now. So actually all the people that are using it and that are in the pipeline are all inbound so far. So we haven't really publicly marketed it. So that's starting next week.
Oh, wow.
We'll be doing a large introduction of that when we go over to London for a large gaming conference called ICE Totally Gaming. But as of now, we've already signed three partners, so we have three deals done. One we took live in December, one we took live a week ago, and one is going live in February. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also be introducing one of our own brands coming up in February as well. So in February, we'll have four sites live on the platform. We want to add a couple of quarter, two to three of those partners probably every quarter.
Yep.
And now it just scales up. So we have, again, the architecture's done, the infrastructure, so now it's really about the business development side.
Right. Excellent. Well, it sounds like you've accomplished quite a bit. Congratulations.
Thank you.
A short period of time. That's fantastic. You were, let's actually just talk about how financed you guys are, what that is looking like for you. Are you doing a raise? What can you tell investors about that and how they might be able to get involved as well?
Yeah. Good timing. we are just starting a raise now. So we've been a private company all of our lives. We've done multiple financings in the past. So privately ourselves, we've raised about $9 million over 7 years.
Okay.
We have some great strategic investors in there from both the esports world and the betting world and the finance world. So we're currently doing a private placement, but it's right before a public event for us. So we're doing a listing on the TSXV.
Okay.
Timing-wise, we're looking to close the private financing of that by the end of February. With the vehicle we've got to go public with, we should be trading 4 to 6 weeks after that close of the private placement.
Oh, wow. Okay. So investors can definitely follow your progress along very closely and then see you go public as well. So I don't know if you want to mention your ticker symbol so that people can put it on their watch list.
Yeah. So we have one reserved. It is EBET. So EBET. Okay. dot V. So
perfect.
Yeah, EBET.
Okay, great. So you have just come out of the Bahamas. There was a conference down there. There was institutional investors and retail investors. Who are you seeing investing in this space currently?
So our last financing we closed at the end of 2018 was another private, and we actually did get a lot of support from the retail brokers.
Okay.
And this round as well, we expect that to be the same. So it is a heavy retail focus for us this time.
Right.
It's not a very large raise, so we haven't done a lot of on the institutional side, but we do see, I think we're getting some of the similar investors who did cannabis and crypto.
Okay, interesting.
So I feel like a lot of the same people who are looking for those new emerging things are the same people that we're seeing now.
Okay, interesting. That's actually a very interesting comment. You will be able to find your raise in the Stockhouse Deal Room coming soon?
Yes.
Excellent. So investors can go there, and that is stockhouse.com/dealroom, and it will be under Ascot Entertainment if you'd like to look at those docs and make sure that you can get involved in the placement. That's where you can find it. Anything else that you would like to leave investors with, just knowing about the company or knowing a little bit more about the space or commenting on why you are really a play that they will want to get involved with?
Yeah, I think one thing to watch now is what's happened in the U.S. in the last couple of years.
Right.
The U.S. has changed their sports betting laws. So they repealed PASPA, it was called. It's now up to the states to go state by state and decide if they're going to add sports betting. So that is a real catalyst for us as well. Because our platform, while it's been esports first, it actually does work as a sports book as well. So we are introducing traditional sports back into the platform this year.
Okay.
So if you look at what just happened with DraftKings recently, the news around that. So the reason why I think people are interested in us is because we are the technology play. And as the U.S. opens up, we're seeing more and more operators trying to pull back tech into their companies.
Right.
Where they've spent years now being the branding, I think they're starting to realize that owning tech is key. So we sit nicely in that space where we're in a number of emerging or big news markets right now. So we're in the esports space, but we sit outside of the team and the league space. So we're in that space, but now we're also in the betting space. And with the U.S. changing, it's a good timing because there's not a lot of, I think, public things right now that people can get into that capture both of those.
Right. So you've got lots of sort of alternatives within the one company, which is excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I was joined today by Scott Burton, and Scott is the CEO of Ascot Entertainment. You can look for Ascot going public under EBET on the Toronto Venture Exchange in the coming months. So definitely put them on your watch list. And again, you can find their raise in the Stockhouse Deal Room at stockhouse.com/dealroom. Thanks so much for coming into the office today, Scott, to give us a bit of an education on the space and the sector. I think that it's sometimes a little overwhelming for retail investors, and myself included, to sort of understand what that fit is. But thanks for explaining that to us.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, all awesome. Right. Thank you.
Don't forget to like our videos and follow us at Stockhouse on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. You'll get updates on all your favorite public companies in North America and every sector of the capital markets. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our investor community on message boards, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, be sure to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities available only on stockhouse.com.